We want to look at the way God has spoken to us during 490 days. What was the message or the messages God was giving to us during this lockdown? And as we are different, I would imagine in different places, God's messages to us would also have been different, because no two of us is the same. We may look alike, we may dress in a similar fashion, but in each of us, I am acutely aware that we're going through our own thing that only God and you know about. And I trust as we come with God's word today, that all of us would find something to say, God, I thank you for speaking to me during these 490 days. Father, come now and give us your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Our first message comes to us from Genesis chapter 8 and verse 11. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew, I underscore that word because it's important, then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. Noah was quarantined for 362 days. He was locked in with animals. There were some dogs whose natural proclivity was to bark. And God had to help keep them quiet. There were some horses that were just waiting to hee-haw all over the place. There were elephants that wanted to trumpet. In other words, Noah was in this vessel, and it was rocking and rolling, and in as much as he obeyed the voice of God, Noah was just like us. Believe it if you want to, or if you don't want to, it doesn't matter. You can think the world is flat, it is still round. Noah, as a human being, had moments when he didn't know what was going to happen next. And when he sent that dove out, and it came back with a leaf in its mouth, the dove brought a message of God's faithfulness. So my question to you is, have you seen God's faithfulness in those 490 days? What was your dove? Did you send it out and it never came back with a leaf saying there is life? Was something going on in your life that says things are dead? But God, through this dove, said to Noah, there is life because I am faithful. Whatever you may be dealing with, I want you to know today that God wants to preach through a dove to remind you of his faithfulness. And the wonderful thing about God's faithfulness is that even when we are not being faithful, he is still faithful to us. What is it you need to know after 490 days? of not being able to worship in this building. Question: did you discover in those days that your relationship with God did not depend upon a building? If your spiritual life sank to the bottom because you were not able to go to church, you need to stop and revisit your relationship with God, because your relationship with God has to be more than that which occurs in a building on a Sabbath. And I am a Seventh-day Adventist, but it does bother me, yes it does, that we, before we get into any kind of conversation with anybody, any place, the first thing we want to tell them is that we don't eat pork and we worship on the Saturday. My religion is more than not eating pork. And my religion is more than the Sabbath. There are 9 other commandments we need to adhere to. So what is it? What is the message that God gave to Noah? It was a message of his faithfulness. That dove signaled to Noah, hey Noah, there is life. Some have lost loved ones during this pandemic. I've attended a few funerals. Unfortunately, many of them were on Zoom. We could not even get together to hug and to give some comfort. But this morning, whatever state you find yourself in, I want to remind you that God is sending the preaching through a dove to say he is faithful. Then next, Numbers 22:28. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these 3 times? Hey! That's what the donkey was saying. What have I done to you to make you beat me these 3 times? While God sent preaching to remind Noah of his faithfulness through a dove, God spoke through a donkey to give us the message of his rebuke. You see, we love the Bible passages that talks about the goodness of God, but we should be reminded that God is not a man. He's better than us as parents, and in our fallen state, we simply don't tell our children everything is good. In raising our children, we give them rebukes. And here was God's prophet needing a message of rebuke. My question, therefore, is in these last 490 days, did God have to send you a message of rebuke? And that message doesn't always come like Samuel. The message doesn't come by hearing God's voice, Samuel. Sometimes God sends the message through a friend or someone who simply calls to say, I'm praying for you. And when that person says that, you recognize where you are and you say, God, I hear your message of rebuke. We don't like being rebuked. Give us what we like. We always want to have pats on the back. But God can't be God if he's not rebuking us when we are not doing that which is right. It's kind of difficult as a preacher recognizing when you should speak and when you should stay silent. particularly if you're among preachers. I believe that the word preaching, Sister Young, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it begins with a P. Am I correct with that? I believe that the word politician also begins with a P. And sometimes we preachers, even on our church boards, behave like politicians. God needs to give us a word of rebuke, because God is not a politician. He sets up kings and he takes them down. I know I had to learn a lot during the last election, because I want to say, hey God, what are you doing? There are things I didn't understand. But God had to remind me, like he had to remind Job, where were you when I said the ocean can only go this far? Because when we see things that we don't like, we sometimes forget, just as the children sang, he's got the whole world in his hands. So when things are happening, God may send a message of rebuke, and if he has to use a donkey, he's going to use it. God sent a message of rebuke. 1 Kings 17. First Kings 17, 6. Read with me, since you're in the house of God. The ravens brought him what? Bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Isn't it wonderful that God says our bread and water are sure? God sent a message to Elijah of assurance. We've read how the government had to bail out people who couldn't pay their rent. There were people who were laid off and they couldn't make their ends meet. But today they are rejoicing because God sent a message of assurance. God is preaching through a raven that he will take care of you. So whatever your economic disposition at this time, be assured that God is in control. Someone rightly said, if you worry, pray. But if you pray, stop worrying. We like to go on our knees and tell God what our concerns are, and then we get up and we walk around with the Lord still on us. I'm reminded of this man that was standing at the side of the road with a heavy basket on his head, Michael. And a man was driving a pickup truck, felt sorry for him, and decided to give him a ride. So the man brought him into the truck and asked him where he was going. He told him, and as the man was driving, he looked in the rearview mirror and saw the man sitting, but he still had the basket on his head. Someone is giving you the assurance that things are going to be all right. We don't need to walk around with the weight, because God says he will take care of you. He will take care of you. He may use a dirty bird like a raven No one wants food from the beak of a raven. But when God gives us something, he's given us just what we need. So he sent the raven to give Elijah the message of assurance. The bird that is black and is supposed to be interested in roadkill, that is the bird God used. That bird preached to Elijah. That bird said, I am giving you food. Don't question it. Luke 16. At his gate, read together, was laid a beggar named what? Lazarus. This is not the same Lazarus that came from the dead. Covered with what? Sores. And longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, every time we read that story, we seldom focus on the dogs licking the sores. And for some, it may seem disgusting. But God was preaching through the dog to the beggar his message of compassion. I don't have a dog, but I've been to hospitals where they use dogs to bring comfort to the bedside of people who are sick. And here is Lazarus. He's a beggar. He has sores. And God is using a dog to give some soothing, soft saliva to his sores, cleaning them up. Question, what are your sores today? And can you receive God's message of compassion, even coming from the lips and the tongue of a dog? God is using some strange preachers today. Some strange preachers. A talking donkey. A dove. God is using some strange preachers. A dog. Is it possible that your sores cannot be soothed because you don't like the dog? Is it possible that God's help to you is being rejected because you don't like the help? Maybe we need to stop and examine just how God has been preaching to us during these last 490 days. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and did what? Wept bitterly. What is the message God is giving to us through this rooster today? What is God's message? God is saying to us through the rooster, you got to repent. When Peter heard the rooster crowing, the Bible says he wept bitterly. What do you need to repent of during these last 490 days? We saw some stuff in America. Can I be candid with you? Well, if you said no, I still would have been. We saw our church in a way we didn't want to see it. We saw our church hustling to put out a statement, trying to discredit or to distance itself from Black Lives Matter. That's my church. That's my church. Trying to distance itself. We saw situations where we were wondering, do we have more in common with fellow believers or with others who are non-believers? It's sad. But we saw that bubbling to the surface. And as a Christian, my affinity must first be with people who are just worshipers and followers of Christ. In other words, the color of your skin shouldn't matter to me. Whether you're from the islands or from the mainland shouldn't matter to me. What should matter to me is that you and I have declared, I will know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need to have more in common as members belonging to the household of faith than the little differences of hues and places where we were born. Do you know where you were born was just an accident? Your parents could have been any place, and you were born there. And sometimes we behave as if where we were born makes us better than people being born someplace else. And the rooster gave a message of repentance. I'm thankful that when Peter, the Bible says, Peter remembered. What is it we need to remember when something triggers our memory? Peter repented. And then, on the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not a man." Read the next word for me, what it says. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to whom? God, an angel of the Lord did what? Struck him down, and he was eaten by what? Worms, and he died. This is a message of judgment. This is a message of judgment. I don't want to be too graphic, but worms do their job. I had a discussion with my mom some time ago, and we were talking about that final day, and she said, "I don't want to be cremated. I don't want to burn." And I said, "Mom, you got a choice. Either you let the worms have you, or you can burn. We don't like the worms." Here is Herod taking credit, and God visited him, and worms began to eat him. This is a message of judgment. In the last 490 days, somebody thought that he had to bring judgment to George Floyd. Somebody thought that he had to bring judgment to Breonna Taylor. Somebody thought that he had to bring judgment to Ahmaud Arbery and many others. But judgment belongs to God. He determines when we live and when we die. Herod started to behave as if he were God. And God, the Bible says, let me go back to that word, immediately. Aren't you thankful that God don't deal with us immediately? Immediately, he shut him down. And so God spake through worms. Last but not least, read together with me what it says. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. There will be no more delay. Noah's dove brought a message of faithfulness. Balaam's donkey brought a message of God's rebuke. Elijah's ravens brought a message of God's assurance. The rich man's dogs brought a message of God's compassion. Peter's rooster brought a message of God's desire for repentance. Herod's worms brought a message of God's judgment. And the angel in Revelation brought a message that there is no more delay. For those who think they have tomorrow, God says, there is no more delay. That is why we are encouraged. Today, if you hear the voice of God, harden not your heart, because there is no more delay. So God is preaching through an angel. He's preaching through a dove. He's preaching through a donkey. He's preaching through a rooster. He's preaching through worms. He's preaching through ravens. My question, what is God preaching to you and how? Is it possible that God is preaching to you through a spouse, but you're not listening? Is it possible that God is preaching to you through a child, but you're not listening? Is it possible that God is preaching to you through a friend, but you're not listening? Is it possible that God is preaching to you through a foreclosure, but you're not listening? God is always preaching. Our problem is that we are not always listening. So today, my brothers and sisters, God has sent us these seven strange preachers. And before I close, I want to ask this salient question. Would you consider the task of being one of God's preachers today? And if you say yes, then God has an expectation that starts with one word, ends with the same word, because that's the word that gets us into trouble when we say yes, but we do not move. And that is willingness. Willingness says that God is going to say, you'll be my preacher, but are you willing? In whatever capacity, whatever gifts he has given to you, are you willing? You don't need an office to be one of God's preachers. You can preach in your home. You can preach in your neighborhood. You can preach to your friends. I'm not talking about jumping on a soapbox, but someone rightly said, I'd rather see a sermon lived than preach. So will you be one of God's preachers today? If this is the case, stand with me and raise your hand. God, you spoke through some strange preachers. I am not a donkey. I am not a rooster. I'm not a raven. But I can preach. I can preach. I certainly can preach. So God is saying to us, I can preach. So today, I'm asking you to recognize the importance of preaching. I'm asking you to recognize the importance of preaching and to trust God that He does everything He said He would. Today, my brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to be a strange preacher for Jesus Christ. You only have to be willing. Just you got to be willing. Father in heaven, on this, our first day back in church, after 490 days being away, we are willing today to be used by you. Preach through us. Maybe we can preach with just a smile. Preach through us. Maybe we can preach by sending a gift to someone who is in need. Preach through us. Maybe we can send a card that says, I love you. Just preach. Because we know you said that if we don't preach, you will cause the stones to cry out. But we want to be used by you today. Preach through us, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Let the church say, Amen.
Were we blessed today? Did we have food for thought today? For our benediction, I ask that you please bow your heads. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the words that was rendered by your manservant today. We thank you so much for just reminding us that it's not just a building. It's not just an article. It's not just things that need us, that make us who we are. And Lord, thank you so much for reminding us that you still sit on your throne and that you are still here with us, regardless of what we're dealing with. Lord, just continue to be with us, Lord, as we depart this place. Thank you again for the fellowship. Thank you again for allowing us to come back again pray to you today and worship with you today. Lord, be with us this day. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.